So what I had thought we'll do is look at how different acharyas, great devotees from the past or history, how they have referred to time in different ways. Because time, it's sometimes is in the context of utilizing one's life in Krishna's service. Sometimes it is referred to as that powerful entity that brings about changes or reverses in life, about the or as the imperceptible mover of things. The sense of urgency, etc. So while our Prabhus are trying to set this up, here's what we're going to do. Between now and 12:45, we will see these verses. Some of them are translations because they're straight off of Lord Kapila's teachings of how time is calculated, etc. But everything else is a verse and a translation. And in all likelihood, we will recite the verses together. See if there is something particular to... See. You can keep the computer there. I don't know the password. Something particular to say about it. And I'd like to hear from the audience how time is referred to in that particular verse. And we'll take it from there. Keep going. Can someone turn off these lights? Not focused. Is it focused? So we've gotten through the first phase of hurdles. We've got the projector and the computer. Now the next phase of hurdle is it says Hari Bol is locked. Well, Priti Mataji, you can unlock this. No? No, we have everything is here. Priti Mataji has the key to every lock. You will see. You came just in time. And now the third phase of hurdle. You must restart your computer to apply these changes. Material energy poses challenges at every time. Every moment. Padam padam yad vipadam natesha. Hey, no, don't start. Devotees also pose challenges. And now the next phase of challenge is that there's a PowerPoint presentation that's...
it's right there. Ah, there you go. Minimize. Oh, I missed that.
Okay, go to first slide, please. Second one. Next one. There you go. I have my own. I've been trained by His Holiness Rompa Swami. Let's see if this works. There you go. Okay. Until further challenges arise. So we can recite this verse together. Shriya Kanta Kanta Parama Purusha Kalpataravo Druma Bhumis Chinta Mani Ganamai Toyam Amritam Katha Ganam Natyam Gamanamapi Vamsi Priyasaki Chidanandam Jyoti Paramapi Vidhamavicha Sayatra Kshiradhi Shravati Surabhiyascha Sumahan Nimeshardhyakyo Va Vrajati Nahi Yatrapi Samaya Bhaje Shveta Dvipam Tamaham Iha Golokamitiyam Vidantaste Santakshiti Viralachara Katipaye. So this is referring, who's speaking this? Lord Brahma. He's speaking about time, or eternal time, as we've been hearing about it. Eternal time, how time is in Goloka Vrindavan. Can someone read the English translation? We'll get you a mic. Somebody? There, Shivram, right behind you. Loudly. Please.
Transcendental seat known as Svetadvipa, where as loving consorts the Lakshmis in their unalloyed spiritual essence practice the amorous service of the Supreme Lord Krishna as their only lover. Where every tree is a transcendental purpose tree, where the soil is the purpose gem, all water is nectar, every word is a song, every gate is a dance, the flute is the favorite attendant, effulgence is full of transcendental bliss, and the supreme spiritual entities are all enjoyable and tasty, where numberless milk cows always emit transcendental oceans of milk, where there is eternal existence of transcendental time, who is ever present and without past or future, and hence is not subject to the quality of passing away even for the space of a half a moment, that realm is known as Goloka, only to a very few self-realized souls in this world.
Thank you. So, where the eternal existence of transcendental time, who's ever present, without past or future. Past or future indicate the time is moving. And it does not pass away even for the space of a half a moment. Nimesha Ardha. Ardha means half. Nimesha Ardha Akhya. It is known as the not even for half a moment the time passes away. Okay, next one. This is from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, our Acharya, who brought the chanting of the holy name for all of us. So we'll recite together. Yugayitam nimeshena chakshusha pravishayitam shunyayitam jagat sarvam govinda virahe name. Okay, someone else?
Your separations, I am considering a moment to be like 12 years or more. Tears are flowing from my eyes like a torrent of rain, and I am feeling all vacant in the world in your absence.
How is time referred to here? I mean, I heard many voices, but I didn't hear what was being said. Some raise your hand so it's easier. Anyone? How is time being referred to you? Mataji? Each moment in separation of Krishna. Because when we don't add that in separation of Krishna, sometimes each moment we have spent chanting also feels like 12 years or more. Okay. That separation of Krishna, even for a moment, seems like a vast expanse of time. Okay. So, English translation we read. Now this is for all of our, I guess, pleasure. This is Dravida Prabhu's translation. Every moment drags on for a million years or more. From the rain clouds of my eyes, the tears in torrents pour. This whole creation is nothing but a vast and joyless void. O Govinda, by your absence, I am being destroyed. Okay, now Prahlad Maharaj's prayers. This is from Srimad Bhagavatam, 7th canto, chapter 6, text 1. Sri Prahlad Uvacha, we'll all go together. Kaumara acharet pragya dharman bhagavata niha durlabham manusham janma tadapi adhruvam arthadam. English translation, someone? Jagdanda Prabhu.
Prahlad Maharaj said, one who is sufficiently intelligent should use the human form of life, body, from the very beginning of life. In other words, from the tender age of childhood, to practice the activities of devotional service, giving up all other engagements. The human body is most rarely achieved, and although temporary like other bodies, it is meaningful because in human life one can perform devotional service. Even a slight amount of sincere devotional service can give one complete perfection.
Thank you. For us in the material world, the perception of time has two, landmarks, right? One is birth and the other is death. And between these two events, we have a perception of time. And so in this case, Prahlad Maharaj is referring to time in how? In human life. He's talking about this entire human life that we have must be utilized in Krishna's service and beginning from a very young age, Kaumara. Okay, next one.
Yathahi purushasyeha Vishno padopasarpanam yadesha sarva bhutanam priya atmeshvara suruhat.
There's a series of verses going to say how people waste their time as well. So next, someone can read. Madhuma? Anyone?
The human form of life affords one a chance to return home, back to Godhead. Therefore, every living entity, especially in the human form of life, must engage in devotional service to the lotus feet of Lord Vishnu. This devotional service is natural because Lord Vishnu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is the most beloved, the master of the soul, and the well-wisher of all other living beings.
Thank you. Next one. Sukham aindriyakam daitya deha yogena dehinam sarvatra labhyate daivat yatha dukham ayatnataha.
Prahlad Maharaj continued, my dear friends born of demoniac families, the happiness perceived with reference to the sense objects by contact with the body can be obtained in any form of life according to one's past fruitive activities. Such happiness is automatically obtained without endeavor, just as we obtain distress.
How is time being referred to here? Yeah, past, but in what sense?
Life of any living.
Yeah. That is one. What else?
Happiness and distress.
How do they come about? What is one of the features of time? Very good. One of the features of time is that it brings to us the reactions of previous activities. It's the carrier. Without time, these previous, the reactions of previous activities are not, they don't fructify. Time energy activates. We read from Nectar of Devotion that the whole cycle of sinful activities is that the seed that has fructified, it's called prarabdha. Prarabdha karma is something that we are experiencing right now. and there is happiness and distress in store for us waiting. And that is all called aprarabdha, not yet experienced. And as time moves, or we are moved by time, these start to manifest. And right now they are stored as papa, bija, and kuta. Papa means that's going to fructify very soon. It's waiting to happen. Bija is that it is stored in seed form. And kuta, that it is as tendency. Those tendencies are within us. As soon as we get this body, when we come out from our mother's womb, crying, we were crying because we're already carrying baggage with us. In all sorts of tendencies that we have. And those tendencies manifest as life circumstances come about. So time makes all of this come together. So Prahlad Maharaj is suggesting to his friends, and we are all his friends, because he is friendly to every living being. He is saying that trying to go ahead and nullify the effects of distress, or trying to extract material happiness, is not a worthwhile project. These are words of Narada Muni also. Does anyone know the verse where Narada Muni speaks this? Very good. Tasyaiva heto prayateto kovida na labhyate yad bhramatam upari adaha. Then? Tal labhyate dukkhavad anyato sukham kalena sarvatra gabhira ramhasa. The happiness and distress are already determined by time, and they will come about. Therefore, an intelligent person, kovida, does not go about maneuvering and manipulating the effects of happiness and distress within this world. He aspires for something transcendental. That is the right way of using time. Okay, Prahlad Maharaj back. Next one. Tat prayaso na kartavyo yata ayurvaya param na tatha vindate kshemam mukunda charanam bhujam. Mike, where's the mic? Please don't wait for being called upon. Just
endeavors merely for sense gratification or material happiness through economic development are not to be performed, for they result only in loss of time and energy with no actual profit. If one's endeavors are directed towards Krishna consciousness, one can surely attain the spiritual platform of self-realization. There is no such benefit from engaging oneself in economic development.
Here's the word. Ayur vyayaha. We hear in Bhagavad Gita the word avyayaha. Avyaya means that which does not diminish or inexhaustible. But vyayaha means diminishing. What is diminishing? Ayur. One's life. One lifespan is diminished by this word. Prayasa. We heard from Maharaj last night that among the things that destroy bhakti, this is a very, very tough one. Prayasa. So he's saying, tat prayasa na kartavyo. Please don't do it, he's telling us. Why? Because yata, by which ayur vyayaha. One loses one's very, very important time and energy. Tatha na vindate kshemam. So one will not gain anything from it. Vindate means enjoying. Unless one worships the lotus feet of Lord Mukunda. Next one. So these are all series of verses. They're not from different places. So he's speaking. There's one continuous comment here. Next one. ततो यतेत कुशल क्षेमाया भवमाश्रितः शरीरं पौरुषं यावन् न विपद्येत पुष्कलम्।
Therefore, while in material existence, a person fully competent to distinguish wrong from right must endeavor to achieve the highest goal of life as long as body is stout and strong and is not embarrassed by dwindling.
So generally people from India have a misconception that the process of bhakti is post-retirement activity. And when younger people take up to Krishna consciousness, they become a little disturbed. This is not the time. Why are you wasting time? Now is the time to enjoy. After retirement, you can take care of all these things. But Prahlad Maharaj says, by the time we are embarrassed by dwindling of the body, when the body is not stout and strong, you know, to engage all the senses, right? Hrishikena Hrishikesha Sevanam. By the time we come to retirement age, the Hrishika are not working. Oh, then what do we engage in Krishna service? There's a joke that most people will, you know, many persons, when they drive a car, they drive it for you know, a few 100,000 miles, and then they donate it to the Hare Krishna temple. Yeah? So what do you do with a car like that? By the time the brahmachari sits and it doesn't start at all. It's a donation, Prabhu. There was a young man who was getting interested in Krishna consciousness. And naturally all the temple devotees, brahmacharis, they were all very happy and they were encouraging him. So after some time, the father got very worried. So he came to meet the temple devotees. This is not a Chicago story, so you can relax. Because in Chicago, no one's worried, everyone's fine. So when the father came, he told the temple devotees, "What are you doing to my young son? He should be going and looking for a job and building a career in life. These are not activities for now. This is for after retirement." So the temple devotees told him, "Okay, we'll leave your son. You come join us." They said, no, not right now. Next one. Pumsho varshashatam hi ayus tadardham chajitatmanah nishphalam yadasau ratryam shete andham prapitastamah.
Every human being has a maximum duration of life of 100 years, but for one who cannot control his senses, half of those years are completely lost, because at night he sleeps 12 hours being covered by ignorance. Therefore, such a person has a lifetime of only 50 years.
Can we imagine 50 years of sleeping? And we are laughing because this is our story before we came to Krishna consciousness. Half life gone in sleeping. But now Prahlad Maharaj is going to make a case for us. Okay. Next one. He's counting it down. Okay, so how many left out of, first of all, how many have a 100-year lifespan? I mean, if you're really lucked out, yes. In the previous life, if one did something really very, very strong prior activities, possibly 100 years in this life. Out of that, 50 are gone in sleeping. So we have balance of 50. Next one. Mugdhasya balaye kaishore kridato yati vimshatihi jaraya grasta dehasya yati akalpasya vimshatihi.
In the tender age of childhood, when everyone is bewildered, one passes 10 years. Similarly, in boyhood, engaged in sporting and playing, one passes another 10 years. In this way, 20 years are wasted. Similarly, in old age,
when one is an invalid, unable to perform even material activities, one passes another 20 years wastefully.
How many gone? How many left? Gone in PhD. We'll find out what he says. Alright. So we have 10 left. Next one. Durapurena kamena mohena chavaliyasa sesham griheshu saktasya pramattasya payahatihi.
One whose mind and senses are uncontrolled becomes increasingly attached to family life because of insatiable lusty desires and very strong illusion. In such a madman's life, the remaining years are also wasted because even during those years he cannot engage himself in devotional service.
He's being nice, he only said 10 years. So, finished, 100 years gone. And that to human life, which he started off saying, it is very rare to achieve. Okay, we'll change gears. We'll hear from who? King Kulashekara. Can we recite together? Krishna Tadiya Padapankaja Panjarantam Adeva me Vishatuma Nasaraja Hamsaha Prana Prayana Samaye Kapavata Pittai Kandhavarodhana Vidhav Smaranam Kutaste. Anyone from the ladies side? Oh, sorry, go ahead. You're already ready.
O Lord Krishna, at this moment let the royal span of my mind enter the tangled stem of the lotus of your feet. How will it be possible for me to remember you at the time of death, when my throat will be choked up with mucus, bile and air?
Here it is. Prana Prayana Samaye. Prana Prayana Samaya is when the time in which the life force is ready to depart. All passengers traveling by Yamaraj Express may please proceed for a security check. And gone. Next one. We did this yesterday. Okay. Ayur harati vaipumsam udyan astam chayannasav tasyarte yatkshano nita uttama shloka vartaya. Both by rising and by setting, the sun decreases the duration of life of everyone except one who utilizes the time by discussing topics of the all good personality of Godhead. So let's go back for 1 second. How is time being referred to here? It is being referred to as the ultimate opportunity. At the time of death, that's it. After that, finished. No more opportunity. It's the concluding opportunity at the time of death. In fact, the process of bhakti is so concessional that even if one lived one's entire life pretty much as a clown, a complete joke, even at the time of death, if he can remember Krishna's name, still there is a chance. And even if he was not calling Krishna's name, he just called the name unknowingly, yet there is a concession, there is an opportunity. So King Kulashekara is saying, and he is also speaking about the urgency, time in sense of urgency, that let me give up my life right now when my mind is strong. Because at the point of death, if my throat is choked with mucus, bile and air, I may not be able to remember you at that time. Okay. Bhishma Deva. Sarvam kala kritam manye bhavatam chayada priyam sapalo yadvashe loko vayor iva ghana vilava. How is time being referred to here? Controller, the indomitable force that controls everyone in this universe. Everyone. From Lord Brahma down to, as you say, the insignificant ant. And so when things happen in life, generally the tendency is to blame someone or something. Right? To err is human, and to blame it on someone else is even more human. We have a tendency to, and when we blame something or someone, we really feel good about the whole thing. It doesn't matter how difficult the situation is, at least we put it on someone. Ha! I can deal with all the misery if I can blame somebody. So here, Bhishma Deva is saying, everything is carried by time. That is what is due for us, and it comes. Just as the clouds are carried by the wind. Okay, now this is calculation of atomic time. This is, now time is being referred to as, or in terms of measurement, yeah. How time passes, or how time is calculated. So let's quickly pass on the mic and persons can read one verse at a time. Who has the mic? Ladies? Yes, Pataji.
Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, text 11, verse 11, text 1. The material manifestation's ultimate particle, which is indivisible and not formed into a body, is called the atom. It exists always as an invisible identity, even after the dilution of all forms. The material body is but a combination of such atoms, but it is misunderstood by the common man.
So we are just a conglomerate of atoms. The body, not we. Body, the body. Go ahead.
Atoms are the ultimate state of the manifest universe. When they stay in their own forms without forming different bodies, they are called the unlimited oneness. There are certainly different bodies in physical forms, but the atoms themselves form the complete manifestation.
Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 11, Verse 3. One can estimate time by measuring the movement of the atomic combination of bodies. Time is the potency of the Almighty Personality of Godhead Hari, who controls all physical movement, although He is not visible in the physical world.
Next one. Go ahead, read. Just skip the 3, 11, 4. It's all okay. One after the other.
The atomic time is measured according to its covering a particular atomic space. That time which covers an unmanifest aggregate of atoms is called a great time. The division of gross time is calculated as follows. 2 atoms make 1 double atom, and 3 double atoms make 1 hexatom. This hexatom is visible in the sunshine, which enters through the holes of a window screen. One can clearly see that the hexatom goes up towards the sky.
The time duration needed for the integration of 3 transcends is called truti, and 100 trutis make 1 Veda. 3 Vedas make 1 Lava.
The duration of time of 3 lavas is equal to 1 nimesha. The combination of 3 nimeshas makes 1 shana. 5 shanas combine together to make 1 kasta, and 15 kastas make 1 lagu.
Fifteen lagus make 1 nadika, which is also called as danda. 2 dandas make 1 muhurta, and 6 or 7 dandas make 1/4 of a day or night, according to human calculation.
The measuring pot for 1 nadika or danda can be prepared with a 6 pala weight, 14 ounce pot of copper, in which a hole is bored with a gold probe weighing 4 masa and measuring 4 fingers long. When the pot is placed on water, the time before the water overflows in the pot is called 1 danda.
It is calculated that there are 4 praharas, which are also called yamas, in the day and 4 in the night of the human being. Similarly, 15 days and nights are a fortnight, and there are 2 fortnights, white and black, in a month.
The aggregate of 2 fortnights is 1 month, and that period is 1 complete day and night for the Pitta planets. 2 of such months comprise 1 season, and 6 months comprise 1 complete movement of the sun from south to north.
Two solar movements make 1 day and night of the demigods, and that combination of day and night is 1 complete calendar year for the human being. The human being has a duration of life of 100 years.
Influential stars, planets, luminaries, and atoms all over the universe are rotating in their respective orbits under the direction of the Supreme, represented by eternal Kala.
So all this that's happening around us is calculated and it's precise. Okay. From the Bhagavad Gita, as it is. Na jayate mriyate va kadachin nayam bhutva bhavitava na bhuyah ajo nitya shashvato yam purano na hanyate hanyamane sharire.
For the soul, there is neither birth nor death at any time. He has not come into being, does not come into being, and will not come into being. He is unborn, eternal, ever-existing, and primeval. He is not slain when the body is slain.
How is time being referred to here? Eternal. But the soul is not affected by time, because the soul is not material. Okay. We discussed this. This is Narada Muni speaking to Vyasadev. This is similar verse that Prahlad Maharaj spoke. So we discussed this. Next one. This is, who's saying this? Narottam Das Thakur. And in his song Nama Sankirtan, he's saying, Tadera charana sevi bhakta sanevas janame janame hoy e abhilash. English? How is he referring to time here? I mean, are you unsure or future? Yes, Chagdanpur. Yeah. And he's glorifying the association of devotees, that it doesn't matter what birth it is, if you can get their association, then life after life you'd be in their association. This is the way to utilize time, is explaining how he would like to utilize lifetime after lifetime. Who's speaking this? King Kulashekhar. This is one of my favorite verses. Madjanmanak phalam idam madhuka eta bhare mad prarthaniya mad anugraha esha eva tvad vritya vritya paricharak vritya vritya vrityasya vritya iti mam smar lokanatha. Saman.
O enemy of Madhu and Kaitabha, a lord of the universe, the perfection of my life and the most cherished mercy, you could show me would be for you to consider me the servant of 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 your servant.
This is referred to in Chaitanya Charitamrita. So the perfection of how we use this life, mat janmana phalam, that the fruit of success of this life is that if you accept my prayer and give me your mercy, that I can be the servant of 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 the servant. Okay. Again, Narottam Das Thakur. You want to sing this? Yes? Okay. Chakshudan dilo jay, janme janme prabhu se, divya gyan hride prakashito, prema bhakti jaha hoite, avidya vinasha jate, vide gaya jahara charito. Someone?
He opens my darkened eyes and fills my heart with transcendental knowledge. He is my Lord, birth after birth. From Him, ecstatic prema emanates. By Him, ignorance is destroyed. The Vedic scripture sings of His character.
The spiritual master's mercy is, he gives us this chakshu, transcendental eyes. It's a dana, it's a gift. By those eyes, we can see through the light of scripture, and we can discern reality from illusion. And therefore, we accept the spiritual master as Prabhu, our master, life after life. Because what he is, by that chakshudan, in the heart, divya jnana, knowledge about Krishna is awakened. So this is an offering of lifetime after lifetime in the service of such a compassionate, magnanimous gesture. Okay. Six Goswamis. Who wrote this song? Srinivasacharya. And Srinivasacharya is glorifying the six Goswamis of Vrindavan. And in his glorification, he is telling us how they utilized their time. Sankhya purva kanama gana nativi kalavasani kritav nidra hara vihara kadi vijitav chatyant dinav chayav radha krishna gunas prater madhurimanandena samhohitav vande rupa sanatanav ragu yugav shri jiva gopalakav. Someone can read.
I offer my respectful obeisances unto the six Goswamis, namely Sri Rupa Goswami, Sri Sanatana Goswami, Sri Raghunatha Bhatta Goswami, Sri Raghunatha Dasa Goswami, Sri Jiva Goswami and Sri Gopala Bhatta Goswami, who were engaged in chanting the holy names of the Lord and bowing down in a scheduled measurement. In this way they utilized their valuable lives, and in executing these devotional activities, they conquered over eating and sleeping, and were always meek and humble, enchanted by remembering the transcendental qualities of the Lord.
Here it says, Kalavasani Kritav. That's how they utilized their time. In Sankhya Purvaka Nama Gana Nativihi. In chanting their rounds, in offering obeisances to all the devotees. Raghunath Das Goswami, it used to say that he had a vow that every day he would offer at least 1,000 obeisances. And he followed that vow even when his body became very invalid. And it was so bad that once he offered obeisance, he could not get up. He didn't have the strength in his body to get up on his own. So someone would have to come to make him stand up. And as soon as they would make him stand up, he would see another Vaishnava, he would offer his obeisances. He spent his day like that. Or Sanatan Goswami had taken a vow that he would walk around Govardhan Hill every day. That's how he spent his day. And when he was almost 70 years old, he was still walking with such an old body. Even Lord Krishna couldn't tolerate. He appeared before him and said, Sanatan Goswami, not necessary. Such serious austerity is not necessary. Jai Shri Shri Radha Damodar Lalita Vishakha Devi, Shri Shri Gornitai Ki Jai. Told him it's not necessary. No, I have taken a vow that this is how I will spend my time in Govardhan every day. So even Krishna could not convince Sanatan Goswami. So then they came with a solution that will work. Lord Krishna gave him a big Govardhan Shila and told him, you circumambulate this 7 times every day, that's as good as going around Govardhan for all day. Okay. So today, that Shila is there in Radha Damodar temple. A big Govardhan Shila with Krishna's footprint on it. And they utilize their valuable lives. Okay. This is from 8th Canto, Chapter 11, Text 7. This is Bali Maharaj speaking. Sri Baliru Vacha Sangrame Vartamananam Kala Chodita Karmanam Kirtir Jayo Jayo Mrityu Sarvesham Syuranukramat.
Replied, all those present on this battlefield are certainly under the influence of eternal time, and according to their prescribed activities, they are destined to receive fame, victory, defeat and death, one after the another.
You know the context of this verse? The demigods and demons. The demigods were headed by Indra and the entire demonic side was headed by Bali Maharaj. And they were always fighting with each other for supremacy. And the army led by Bali Maharaj had overtaken the demigods. So the demigods went to Lord Vishnu. They went to Lord Brahma and Lord Brahma went to Lord Vishnu. And it was decided that they will churn the milk ocean for nectar. And the nectar will be given to the demigods so that they will become invincible. But the churning of the ocean would not be possible without the cooperation of the demons. So the Lord said, ask them to come and churn the ocean with you for nectar. So in modern language we call it coopetition. When you can't fight your competitor, you cooperate with your competitor. So it's called coopetition. So this is a very age-old, strategy. So they got together. And they got Mandara Mountain, Vasuki as the churning rope. And they started churning. And of course, Kurmadeva appeared as the whole wonderful pastime. And many things, 14 different things came from the churning of the milk ocean. Finally, Sri Dhanavantri came with a pot of nectar. As soon as he appeared, everyone was mesmerized by his appearance. And the demons grabbed the pot of nectar away from Dhanavantri. And because they grabbed the pot, they got together and they couldn't drink that nectar. This is how demons waste their time. They waste their time in argument, fighting. They, instead of quickly opening the pot and drinking it, they were arguing who gets the bigger share. I'm a bigger demon than you are. I should get the first chair. No, 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 he is the person. No, no, they should get. Someone, one of the weaker demons said, should we not share with the demigods? They told him, shh, keep quiet. This is not for the demigods. So they were, while they were fighting, arguing, the Supreme Lord appeared as Mohini Murthy. You know. How much ever one is fighting, the moment there is a third distraction, and she was so good looking, so attractive, she wore a dress also in such a way that the minds were totally bewildered. And they gave the pot in her hand, saying, you please distribute to us, because we are fighting, you will distribute to us nicely with your sweet smile. So she said, I can even cheat you. Oh, how nicely you're saying. No, it's all right. He said, the Lord spoke the truth, saying, I'm going to cheat you. No, no, you were. Even if you cheat, that's fantastic. Even if you poke a dagger into my heart, that would be fantastic. So she said, all right, all of you take a bath, come get together. And she made the demigods sit in some other far corner. And they thought, good, they're keeping the demigods far away. And she started distributing the nectar to the demigods. And all the demons were sitting. And while they were wondering what, she looked at them and kept smiling. So by that enchanted smile, they were not bothered like what she was doing. They were just enamored by the smile. And slowly, she finished the whole nectar pot to the demigods. She came to them and said, sorry. Finished. And they felt very cheated. And immediately, they all raged a massive war. And this chapter, right before this chapter, is a description of that war. How they got together. Recently we were all, before this retreat started, we were all together here a few days preparing for the retreat. And we were reading from this chapter. And the description of the war is very fascinating. The weapons that they had, the names of all the demons are given, the names of all the demigods are given, who paired and fought against whom is given, some sat on elephants, camels, horses, donkeys, hens, mice. They sat on everything that they could find to fight. And at that time, they lose the battle. Naturally, because they didn't get the nectar. So they lose this battle. And prior to this, they were invincible. And now they have lost. And while they're all lamenting, Bali Maharaj is the only one whose mind is still stable. And he says, sometimes we win, sometimes we lose. And everything is just a play or trick of time. Sometimes we win this argument, sometimes we lose an argument. Sometimes we, you know, defeat someone, sometimes we are defeated. Some days are good days, some days are bad days. It's all a trick of time. So he's describing that on this battlefield, everything is happening under the influence of time. Okay, next verse. This is 7, this is 8. Tadidam kala rashanam jagat pashyanti surayaha na hrishyanti na shochanti tatra yoyam apandita.
Truth, neither rejoice nor lament for different circumstances. Therefore, because you are jubilant due to your victory, you should be considered not very learned.
Getting carried away by something, some material gain. Hrishyanti, and he's saying, a pandita. Being carried away by material happiness is not the symptom of a learned person, because right behind that happiness is distress. In fact, happiness in the material world comes with distress. And distress in this material world comes with distress. There's no happiness. Distress comes with distress, happiness comes with distress. Next one. Navayam manyamananam atmanam tatra sadhanam girovasadu shochyanam grinimo marmataadanaha.
Fame in victory. Because of your ignorance, saintly persons feel sorry for you. Therefore, although your words afflict the heart, we do not accept them.
He's chastising the demigods because they're very happy for winning the war. And here's the thing. One, we don't recognize the influence of time, of how time is bringing the thing, bringing about happiness and distress, then one considers oneself to be the doer. And in the Bhagavad Gita, such a person is said to be afflicted by the mode of ignorance. So he's saying, you think you are the cause of attaining fame and victory. And because one thinks of oneself the doer, all the great saintly persons feel sorry for you. So when we take credit for something, all the great sages, they feel sorry for us. Thinking, oh, he's thinking he's the doer. Or she is thinking she's the doer. We're saying, but that's not what it is. These things, the material things are just coming and going by the influence of time. One is not really the cause of anything. I don't know if there's a next verse. Yeah, next verse is not there. The next verse says that when Bali Maharaj said that the saintly persons feel sorry for you, they don't accept your words. It is said that the demigods did not protest because they knew what he was saying is true. They accepted. They said, you're right. This is Bali Maharaj speaking. He's preaching to the demigods. Those are what I have. That's it. Any comments, questions, any specific appreciation for time, either from these verses or something? Anything we learned? Anyone would like extra 15 minutes? Something? Yeah, Krishna Arjuna Mataji. Time is not made of atoms. What that described was these indivisible particles called the atom. And the movement of the sun across one indivisible particle is the calculation of time. But to know how much time it takes for the sun to cross an atom is incalculable. So the basic division, the smallest unit is the hexatom. It's the two atoms together, three such, what they call double atom. It's a hexatom. The time calculated to cross that hexatom is possible. That's the smallest unit of time. So it begins there. That's the smallest unit of time, and the largest unit of time is Lord Brahma's life. So it's giving us an appreciation of how a small, I guess, a drop in the ocean and the big ocean is a small unit of time, all accumulates all the way up to Brahma's lifetime, 311 trillion some years. And all of that is nothing but a little inhalation and exhalation of the Mahapurusha. So while it is insignificant from a cosmic perspective or the eternal perspective, on the relative realm, it has all these influences in how it is calculated. And different measurements are necessary for different activities. We need a muhurta for certain activities to be done. We need to know how the days and months are progressing for the almanac, to know which day what event is going to happen or has happened in the past. So there is an appreciation for time in that sense, but it's all in the relative field.
Thank you, Prabhu, for wonderful slides. I had one question. Earlier slide, we saw the Prahlad Maharaj explaining the 100 years how the human beings spend. Is it reference to only Kali Yuga? Because in Satya Yuga, the lifespan was more than 100 years. So how that time in contrast with other yugas referred in Srimad Bhagavatam?
Well, I don't know if it is referring to Kali Yuga per se. But my understanding is that regardless of what relative scale you take, it is as 100 years of lifespan. For example, even for Lord Brahma, it's 100 years. But 100 of his years and his time. So in that sense, it's 100 years. So he's speaking scale neutral. It doesn't matter what you take. That's my understanding. Atulya, then Girish, and then Sridhar.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna.
In Prahlad Maharaj's prayers, not prayers, the verse that you were quoting, he was saying, from the tender age to childhood, one should engage in devotional service.
Yes.
So I was wondering if there's a description of the activities described for a child and how the engagement could be done, and if you have any thoughts on that.
This is more from time discussion to parenting discussion. What are the activities?
Yes.
Huh? He comes later and he talks about the nine processes of devotional service. So that's one reference. Another reference is Parikshit Maharaj, first canto, chapter 12. The birth of Parikshit Maharaj is discussed. And they do his jatakarma. They talk about all of his future qualities, how he is going to be in the quality of charity, like King. I keep forgetting his name. If Prahlad were here, he would say Shibi. Thank you. Like that. There's a whole description. And then it describes what he did in his childhood. And those purports, Prabhupada describes an activity of a child. Primarily, the activity for a child is to imitate the parents. That's the activity. So when the parents are engaged in devotional activities, the children will automatically imitate them. So the child from the beginning either learn only two mudras. You know, mudra and deity worship, we have hand symbols. So depending upon what the parent is doing, the children learn one of these two mudras. One is this mudra. This is the flipping of channels. Or the other mudra. Depends on what the parent is doing. So they just imitate. They just follow. Those are the activities. Girish.
How does time affect the subtle body? We know that the gross body, there's a birth and death. So how does time affect the subtle body?
Good question. Time affects the subtle body. The gross body is affected by janma murtyu jara vyadhi. And the subtle body is affected by the transformations of the gross body. Shochati, kankshati. Shochati is the lamenting. Lamenting for things that have passed. Time influences that way. That the mind and intelligence are stuck in the past. Or kankshati, hankering for a better situation, something in the future. So it influences the mind to either go into the future or back into the past. And the actual experience of happiness and distress is there. It is not necessarily on the gross platform per se. That's how the mind and intelligence get affected. And the false ego is influenced by a strengthening of bodily identification. When children are young, they don't identify so much, this is mine, like that. Although they do. But as they grow older, as we have grown older, the sense of what belongs to me has expanded. That's how it affects the subtle body.
Is it right to say that all these definitions of time with respect to the sun moving from one atom to the other, how does that come into picture when it is a subtle body?
Well, we're all in the material realm. And the subtle body is also material. So the sun affects everything. The movement of the sun is the grand clock, if you will, that keeps time for everyone. Said it in simple language. And that movement affects both the subtle and the gross bodies. And all of one's karma, the aprarabdha karma, is manifested because of that movement of the sun. The movement of the sun is the visual, perceptible understanding that time exists. Otherwise, if the sun did not move, we wouldn't know. We can't appreciate that time is moving on. So it's considered it's in the Brahma Samhita. Yachakshuresha Savita Sakala Grahanam Raja Samasta Suramurtir Ashesha Teja. He's moving as the king of all the planets. And by that movement, all of one's karma is brought forth. Both on the gross and subtle. Anything that manifests on the gross comes from the subtle. So that's how it affects.
So is it right to say that the time on the subtle platform is different from the time on the gross platform?
Experience of the perception of it may be different. Because at night when we dream, for example, then our sense of time is different. Or when we are daydreaming, sense of time is different. However, we are meant to appreciate time within the gross and subtle together. Otherwise, we would all be happily daydreaming and not feel the movement of time. But it is back into the gross as well, because we are in the gross body. We can't neglect that. That's how days and nights pass for us. If we neglect that, then we actually get influenced by time even more. We call it space out, right? Have you heard that? Spacing out. When we space out, the influence of time is more painful than when we are aware and we can utilize it. If we space out, then we miss the opportunity to utilize time. Jagdanath, you want to say something on that? Sorry?
Through the agency of the subtle body, the soul gets the next gross body. So do you see connection with this and his question, or could you elaborate?
All of one's conceptions of life, conceptions of happiness, distress, aspirations, etc. are all within the mind, which is the subtle body. And those conceptions in the mind and then allows the intelligence to move the gross senses to come in contact with their sense objects. For example, if I have a perception, It's very cold right now. And I'm not able to bear the cold. Then my intelligence will work to say, okay, go get a blanket or chadar or sweat or something and put it on. And that actually moves the gross senses to wrap a blanket. And when the skin touches the warmth of the blanket, the mind says, now it's nice. You can go to sleep peacefully. Ah, very good. So the gross action comes from the subtle action. The thinking, willing, feeling, all of that. And so for me to move the hand, bring the chadar, put it on, is all influenced by, guided by time. Because it takes time. So the mind keeps the living entity very busy. Very busy in just moving the senses towards the sense objects. From one to another, from one activity to another activity. And in that, time passes away. Because the mind has no ultimate goal. That was what we were hearing last night. Regardless of what's the storm that's happening, if the beacon of light coming from the lighthouse is, that's clear, then whether it's tossed this way or tossed that way, we still have a direction to go. So that's how everything is affected on the subtler plane. Yes, Mataji. Oh, hold on, Mataji. Sorry, I promised Sridhar his question.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. We understand the time is longer in duration in the upper planetary systems in compared to the lower planetary systems. So is there any devotional service performed in upper planetary systems in the duration of the time? The heavenly planets are only for sense gratification. What is the level of devotional service available over there?
Heavenly planets are not... That's not... Heavenly planets have greater opportunity for sense gratification.
Okay.
It doesn't mean everyone in the heavenly planets necessarily is doing that. But yes, the tendency for sense gratification is very, very high. In the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, it is described persons at different realms. They are engaging in their yoga system or process by which they connect to the Lord in different ways.
So they also do the 9 process of devotional service?
They do other things as well. Yeah. Prahlad Maharaj, who's in Sutala planet? Bali Maharaj. He's way in the subterranean planets. Is he doing the 9 processes of devotional service? Absolutely. Dhruva Maharaj is in the pole star. Is he doing? Absolutely. Like that. Doesn't matter. For a devotee, that's the verse Lord Shiva quotes to Mother Parvati. Narayana Parayana Na Swarga Na Bibhyati Swarga Apavarga Apitulyartha Darshanam. It doesn't matter whether they are in the hellish plan. Yamraj is doing his devotional service. Doesn't matter where they are.
Okay, thank you, Prabhu.
So devotional service is not situation or place specific.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Did we have ever appreciated the concept of time if our body wouldn't have become weaker and older with the time? I think we get the concept of time because of that.
Well, we are forced to appreciate time this way. Because we don't appreciate it, we are forced by old age and disease and death to look at, oh, time is the very powerful energy. Jai Shri Shri Radha Damodar Lalita Vishakha Devi Ki Jai. I'll also end in 1 minute, so we are forced to appreciate it. But for the great sages, they don't have to become old and diseased to appreciate, oh, time is such a movement. In fact, our appreciation of time does not come from experience. Our appreciation of anything in life should not come from experience. It should come from hearing. Learning something from experience is, according to Prabhupada, the third class way. The first, the best way to learn is from hearing. When the great personalities or acharyas are saying about time, that's how we learn to appreciate it. We don't have to experience old age. So quickly narrate two things, right? For example, there is often quoted the story of Lomhasa Rishi. Lomhasa Rishi had a benediction that he will not die until all the hairs on his head or body have fallen. And it's told that he was very hairy. He was a hairy Krishna. A lot of hair. And only one hair would fall in each day of Brahma. So he had a very long life. No old age, no diabetes, nothing. So he used to sit out in the sun and meditate. So his disciples said, Guru Maharaj, we cannot see you like this. Can we create a little bhajan kutir for you? You can sit peacefully and chant. He said, don't waste time. Life is too short. Well, that is Lomhasa Rishi. And I forgot the second thing I was going to say. Okay, one final, and then we'll end. Final question. Something. I was going to say something funny about time, but I forgot. Lomhasa Rishi and someone else. Someone else. Krishna.
One of my understanding of proper use of time is being present in the moment. So, while we try to do that, we become more aware of our feelings, you know, what's happening. So, which should theoretically take us to a higher level of consciousness. But what I'm noticing is, you know, those feelings tend to make us go to past or future. So, if you have some thoughts on how, you know.
Being present is just the first step. Because when we are present, then we can make choices. There can be people who are present and they can use their time differently. So being present is the way by which we have the full capacity for making choices. When we are not present, then we lose those opportunities for making choices. Because either we are in the past, shochati, or way in the future. Kankshati, hankering, aspiring, whatever. So what was the second part of the question?
Yeah, so instead of just being present, taking us to a higher consciousness, if it is taking us back to the conscious future,
what if you're going back to past and future? It means that in our being present, something needs to be re-looked at as to what does being present mean for us. If being present is a full review of past, then there's something that we may be more aware, but we may still be operating from back there. So, being present is not just, I'm aware of the moment now, but I'm also acting in this moment now. That I can see things from this moment on, not from the past perspective. Okay. And I'm happy to have more conversation if you like. Okay, thank you very much for your very, very patient tolerance. Although in the beginning, things were a little scattered. That's my mistake. Well, thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.